Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time here on a Friday, or as I like to say, Fri-yay, April 27, 2018. So honored you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. We've got a ton to get to on today's current sports. If you've been joining us throughout the week, you know that we've had a few guests here on the show that have been fantastic, especially yesterday. Yesterday's current sports was a pretty crazy day, seeing as though we had four guests. Can you believe that? Well, today, it's going to be all talk. That's right, folks. Today's current sports will be filled with a lot of dialogue, and you will get my thoughts and takes on last night's NFL draft round one. What an atmosphere the NFL draft has really become, right? I mean, an absolutely fantastic setting down in AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, home of my Dallas Cowboys, right there on the field, as, you know, many fan bases were there celebrating round one and rooting on their respective teams, hoping that their franchises just drafted the next superstar. And I tell you what, a lot of folks are not pleased with what the Detroit Lions did at pick number 20. I personally, well, I'll save my take. But, you know, I got a text from current sports engineer Ian Hawley, who was not pleased with the pick. I got a text from my homeboy and probably the biggest Detroit Lions fan that I know, my homie Chris Gandy. And, you know, he shot me a text and, you know, I was kind of gloating about, you know, the Dallas Cowboys pick at number 19. But I saw on his Instagram story, he was not happy. Many of you not happy on social media. I'm going to tell you why you all need to take a chill pill, relax. All right. Max tax and relax. I got a few reasons why. All right. So we'll talk about the Detroit Lions pick at number 20. We will also talk about other draft takeaways. There were a few cool moments throughout the NFL draft, and many surprises, many teams trading and moving up, and a lot of shaking and everything. We'll talk about that. And also, we will address the question on today's current sports, whether or not the streak will end for the Michigan State football program, which has had a player drafted in the NFL draft dating all the way back to, my goodness, I think dinosaurs were still roaming the earth. Crazy, right? But a lot of folks don't believe that MSU will have a player that is called through rounds, you know, 2 through 7. So we'll address that question as well. And then on the back end of the show, we will talk about some news coming out of the camp of Michigan college football, as a certain quarterback transfer from Ole Miss by the name of Shea Patterson looks to be possibly on the road to be ruled eligible to play next season. How about that? So all of that jazz and so much more. We'll talk about anything on your noggin. I'm asking you, I want to know, what is your draft grade for the Honolulu Blue at pick number 20 to go with a center? What do you think? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Give us your grade of Arkansas center Frank Ragnow. Also, go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Check out the live stream there. Comment below the video, and I'll read your draft grade right here live on our airwaves. You can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. I'm going to tell you why you need to take a chill pill, though, when it comes to this selection for the Lions. But, hey, you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. As I've been stating since 1 o'clock hit, the Detroit Lions had an opening along their offensive line, and they have filled it with the selection of Arkansas center Frank Ragnow. Lions GM Bob Quinn noted after the pick that Ragnow has position versatility, having played both center and guard at Arkansas. He considers Ragnow an, quote, interior offensive lineman. And we'll wait to see where he lines up. Ragnow said the only contract he had with the Lions in the pre-draft process was during an interview at the Combine. Quote, I think he was a guy that was pretty clean through the process, Quinn said. I didn't really feel like we needed to do a whole lot of extra work on in terms of a visit here or private workout or any of those things. Now, Ragnow mostly played center the last two seasons, but did play 15 career games at right guard, which gives him some versatility that, again, Quinn notes. With only 46 players dressing on game day and only seven offensive linemen, Quinn values that with those players up front. The Lions ranked last in the NFL in rushing last year. Quarterback Matthew Stafford was sacked the second most times in the league at 47, and Detroit started 11 different combinations along their offensive line. I'll address the Lions pick, and you'll get my grade in just a moment. What is your grade? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. The Detroit Tigers lost 1-0 to the Pittsburgh Pirates yesterday. Corey Dickerson hit a walk-off homer against Alex Wilson in the bottom of the ninth inning to score the lone run in the game. The Tigers left a runner stranded on third base four times, first, third, and sixth, and the ninth inning, I should say. Michael Fulmer allowed four hits over six shutout innings. He walked one, struck out a season-high nine. Michael Fulmer had not struck out more than four in his previous four starts. All right, the Lansing Lugnuts will be on the road this weekend. The Whitecaps, they will be at home for a three-day, five-game series against the Luggies with a doubleheader starting today at 6 p.m. Jesus Rodriguez makes the start on the mound for West Michigan against Lansing pitcher Maverick Buffo. All right, the NHL draft will take place. Draft lottery, I should say. Of course, at the forefront is the NFL draft, but the NHL draft lottery will be Saturday night as game two between the San Jose Sharks and the Vegas Golden Knights gets underway. This is the day that all fans of teams who didn't make the playoffs get to have some sort of excitement for their squad before the actual draft. The Buffalo Sabres come in with the best odds to win the lottery at 18.5%, while the Detroit Red Wings come in with the fifth best odds to land the top overall pick, a pick that will almost assuredly be spent on Swedish superstar defenseman Rasmus Dahlin. So there you have that. NHL draft lottery tomorrow. The NBA playoffs went underway yesterday. Continued yesterday with just one game on the docket for the NBA playoffs. And that game was the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks end up pulling out that one, forcing now a game seven, 97-86, the final in that game. So great job by Giannis Antetokounmpo and company. Nothing better. No two words better than game seven in the world of sports. Looking forward to that one. And that game seven will actually take place tomorrow at 8 p.m. So get your popcorn ready on a Saturday night. Today, you can catch the Toronto Raptors and the Washington Wizards go at it. The Washington Wizards are also trying to force a game seven, seeing as though Toronto has a 3-2 series lead. Also, the Pacers are trying to do the same thing as LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers now have a 3-2 series lead, courtesy of LeBron's buzzer-beating three-pointer that sent the sports world in awe and shock, right? 8 p.m. tonight, you can catch Game 6, we'll see if Victor Oladipo and the Pacers can make things interesting there. And also, the late slate game will be the Oklahoma City Thunder taking on the Utah Jazz on the road. Utah leads that series 3-2. The Jazz also with an opportunity for a closeout game. We will see if OKC can force a Game 7. So all three games that will take place tonight with the Wizards, Pacers, and Jazz trying to force a Game 7. How fun is that, right? All right, yesterday in the NHL playoffs, we saw the Pittsburgh Penguins stop the Washington Capitals 3-2, the final. Pittsburgh leads that series 1-0. And also the first game of this series between the San Jose Sharks and the Las Vegas Golden Knights. The Golden Knights just absolutely rolled in this one. 7-0, the final last night. Las Vegas leads that one 1-0 in that series. Tonight you can catch the Jets and Predators at 8 p.m. Game 1. Also, tomorrow, you can catch the Bruins and the Lightning in Game 1. That will be a 3 p.m. puck drop. And then later on that night, the Sharks and the Golden Knights will get underway for Game 2 in that series at 8 p.m. Michigan quarterback Shea Patterson is expected to be ruled immediately eligible by the NCAA. The person with knowledge of the situation told this news to the Detroit Free Press yesterday. Now, the source requested anonymity because the decision has not been officially announced. Patterson, a 6'2", 203 quarterback from Toledo, transferred to Michigan from Ole Miss after the 2017 campaign. His lawyer, Thomas Mars, did not confirm the decision on Thursday. But all signs right now, I've read numerous reports that point to Shea Patterson, transfer QB from Ole Miss, being ruled eligible to play immediately with this transfer to the University of Michigan. So we'll see if Shea can be that quarterback savior that Jim Harbaugh has oh so patiently been waiting for. Quick update, or preview, I should say, when it comes to Michigan State softball and baseball this weekend. Starting with baseball, MSU baseball will host Maryland in a 3-game Big Ten Conference weekend series today through Sunday at McLane Stadium at Cobbs Field. Today's opener will be nationally televised on the Big Ten Network, a 3:02 p.m. first pitch. Saturday and Sunday's games are slated for a 1:05 p.m. start time. The Spartans have won their last 5 games and 9 of their last 11. Michigan State is coming off a 3-game Big Ten weekend sweep at Northwestern for MSU's first back-to-back Big Ten sweeps since 2011. MSU has won its last 6 conference games for the first time also since 2011, which was the last time that the Spartans won the Big Ten title. Michigan State softball is in the middle of a 6-game homestand and welcomes Rutgers to Sequoia Stadium for a 3-game Big Ten series. First game begins at 4 p.m. later on this afternoon with 1 p.m. first pitches slated for Saturday and Sunday. The Spartan softball program does not have a traditional senior day with all of its seniors honored before the final home game of the season. Instead, each senior gets her own day where she is honored on the field with her family prior to a home game of her choosing. Really like that idea. On Friday today, the program will honor Jordan Davis, and on Saturday, Mackenzie Long. Michigan State women's golf team will throw out the ceremonial first pitch for today's game. The team won the Big Ten championship last weekend, their second straight. Very cool stuff there. And again, congratulations to head coach Stacy Slobotnik-Stoll. United States President Donald J. Trump tweeted his support for the U.S.-led joint bid for the 2026 World Cup last night, but cautioned it would be a shame if the U.S. allies lobbied against it. Now, the tweet from Trump comes with the FIFA Congress set to vote on the hosting rights on June 13th in Moscow. Morocco is the only other country competing against the North American bid, which includes Mexico and Canada. It read, quote, this is what the tweet read, quote, the U.S. has put together a strong bid with Canada and Mexico for the 2026 World Cup. It would be a shame if countries that we always support were to lobby against the U.S. bid. Why should we be supporting these countries when they don't support us? In parentheses, including at the United Nations, question mark. Oh, it's stirring up a lot of controversy on Twitter. Mexico President Enrique Peña Nieto replied to Trump's tweet shortly afterward, writing, quote, We can have differences, but soccer unites us. Together, we support the bid of Mexico, Canada, and the USA to host the 2026 World Cup. And he added Donald Trump's Twitter handle. Now, ESPN reported in February the race between the joint bid and Morocco was already much closer than expected, despite the fact that the North American proposal has the required infrastructure already in place. This is due in part to the policies of Trump, including a travel ban against mostly Arab countries. Lingering resentment over the U.S. Department of Justice investigation into FIFA corruption has also hampered the U.S.-led bid's effort to attract votes. Oh, the politics of sports, right? Politics of sports should be separate, you would think, right? It's 2018, though. You get the message. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can be a part of our airwaves. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I am asking you all, specifically you all Detroit Lions fans out there, how would you grade the Detroit Lions round one pick of Arkansas center Frank Ragnow? A, B, C, D, F, or when I was in school, E. Do they even give out E's back in elementary school? I mean, it depends on the school district, right? But what do you think? Did they knock it out the park, or are you sitting there kind of scratching your head and saying, that makes no sense to me? You can also weigh in, facebook.com/WKAR News, comment below the live stream, and I'm going to do my best to get to your comments at some point throughout this hour, and tweet me. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR underscore sports. Joint. Shout out to Kendrick Lamar and SZA. All the stars, maybe tonight, might let me know that all the stars are closer, and a lot of stars made their dreams come true last night. Congratulations to the entire round one class of the NFL draft. It's always a cool moment because you see these cats, these young men who have worked all of their lives for that moment to make their dreams come true. I mean, just imagine the road that you got to take to become an NFL first round pick. I mean, you've been playing the game since PAL League, you know, trying to get recruited, trying to get on the radar of Division I college, and you do that. But once you walk on that campus, you didn't have to prove yourself. And these remarkable young men making their dreams come true last night. It's always a cool moment and an emotional moment for those who are just lovers of sports to see these cats, especially those who are fans of the college fan base. Of the college sports, I should say. I mean, to see these guys that you follow throughout their college career working for that moment and get a chance to accomplish it. What a moment it was. What a first round it was. One of the most entertaining first rounds of the NFL draft that I've ever watched. A lot of moves happening. That's what makes it so entertaining, especially in round one. I'm not probably tuning in for rounds, you know, 3 through 7. I'll watch round two, maybe not the whole thing. I'll watch rounds too, you know, most of it. But, you know, 3 through 7, I'll just catch it on my phone. That's a lot of names and just kind of waiting there patiently, you know, for your team to pick, right? But that moment that was interspersed with that introduction was, I think, the moment of the night, in my opinion, as Ryan Shazier, who was, gosh, I mean, we all remember that moment, right? After he had he went head first, you know, trying to make a tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers last December. That play left him motionless on the turf in a brutal Monday night game against the Cincinnati Bengals. It was one of the NFL's worst fears come true, really. A star player, community leader, losing his career and maybe his mobility in a split second. On the field play, safety has been at the forefront of the NFL conversation for a long time now when discussing concussions, when just discussing, again, just the safety of the player. And Ryan Shazier, wow, a powerful moment that had a lot of folks tearing up. You heard Rich Eisen, you know, he was kind of taken aback as Ryan Shazier and his fiance Michelle walked out after Roger Goodell called his name. And goodness, talk about courage, right? And just good to see Ryan Shazier walking. May not play another down in the world of football again, but I think it's a sober reminder. It's really a sobering reminder that, you know, the game of football is a violent game. And at the drop of a dime, just like that, snap of a finger, your career could totally change. I think that's a reminder for a lot of these young players who did make their dreams come true last night. What a night it was, though. And right now, I'm going to have more takeaways when it comes to round one of the NFL draft. A few more points to make when looking at the entire round one draft. But let's talk about your Detroit Lions, because many of you are not happy with this pick. Many of you are disgruntled, and let that displeasure be known very quickly on social media. I actually seen, you know, a few articles from those who cover the Lions. Specifically, I want to call out Carlos Menares, who is a Detroit Lions beat reporter for the Detroit Free Press. He actually gives and grades the Lions round one pick of Arkansas center Frank Ragnow. He grades it a big fat F. And it was so hilarious watching today's analysis this morning with Detroit Lions beat reporter Dave Burkett, as well as Sean Windsor. All three of the Detroit Free Press, of course, breaking down this pick of Arkansas center Frank Ragnow. And basically, Windsor and Burkett were just kind of puzzled looking at Carlos Menares saying, come on, dude, are you serious? I mean, this was a need. They drafted for need. When you look at the article that Carlos Menares put out, I just want to note something here. He says, quote, they didn't need an interior lineman who could have been picked day two. Just look at the team's own recent past of picking interior linemen. Center Travis Swanson was a third-round pick. Center Dominic Raiola was a second-rounder. Left guard slash center Graham Glasgow was a third-rounder. Right guard TJ Lang was a fourth-rounder. They've all been quality players. The last time the Lions picked an interior lineman in the first round was Lankin Tomlinson, who was a bust as the 28th overall pick in 2015, end quote. Again, that's coming from Carlos Menares, his most recent article, again, dissecting the Lions' first-round pick of Arkansas center, Frank Ragnow. I want to take a pause here, Ian Hawley. First, I'm going to get this off your chest. I'm going to give you the stage right now and the forum right now to voice your displeasure, because when the pick was made, you shot me a text and you said, what? A center? Have the Lions? Well, you didn't. I'm really paraphrasing and throwing in my own adjectives now. They're crazy. They got to be out of their minds. That's how I read it.
Yeah,
there was
a little embellishment there, but I'm okay with it because you captured my inner feelings at that moment.
That is not a direct quote from you, and I'll probably bring up the text later on in the show, but you were not happy.
I was not happy.
With the Lions selecting Frank Ragnow from Arkansas, the Arkansas center. Why?
I was not happy at first glance because I thought that they should have tried to shore up their defensive line at least a little bit, you know, with some of the fantastic interior linemen on the defensive side that were available at that time. You know, having one of the worst pass rushes in the league last year is just embarrassing for the Lions. And I think that some of those other players on the defense, such as a Darius Slay kind of guy, who's a little bit more quality of a player, could have used someone else on the defensive line to kind of complement them on the outside. But, you know, Ragnow's not a terrible pick. I don't agree with the F rating that was given by this other reporter.
No.
I would give it a C at the worst, probably a B at the best, just because I think they could have done a little better. And this is a good pick for the Lions, but it's not a good first-round pick. That is what my final conclusion on this pick is.
I grade it a B. I think that the Lions drafted for need. I had no problem with this pick. This is the thing. Let's get down to it. Let's keep it real here. The reason why a lot of the Detroit Lions fan base is upset with this round one pick is because it's a center. A center in the first round. Centers aren't sexy. Centers don't score touchdowns unless a miracle happens, right? And they design a trick play for the center. A center is a center. He's not going to be the face. A center has never been the face of the NFL. It's not a real sexy position to play. However, this is what Bob Quinn has shown throughout his tenure as the Detroit Lions general manager so far, is that he is going to address the needs of this team. You just noted, Ian, this team has been absolutely horrible when it comes to the rushing attack. And then they have also been horrible when it comes to protecting their franchise quarterback and Matthew Stafford, I've always been a Matthew Stafford guy, because when you look at the offensive line throughout the majority of his career with the Honolulu Blue, the offensive lines that he's had to play with, they have not done a great job at protecting him, yet this dude has shown so much durability, so much toughness. He gets right back up. He barely complains about it after eating grass and comes back and throws touchdowns. 2 years ago, we were talking about Matthew Stafford and really praising him for the countless fourth quarter comeback wins, despite not having an offensive line that could protect him, not having a run game that could find holes to run through because the offensive line has been absolute trash. You got to address need. Now, I think that the reason why Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia and Martha Firestone Ford decided to pull the trigger here is because you don't normally hear about a center going first round, right? But they were very impressed, as I noted in our current sports quick hit headliners, with the conversations that they had about Frank Ragnow. He plays in the SEC. This dude is going against NFL caliber talent when it comes to opposition against defensive line guys on a regular basis, Saturday by Saturday, because he plays in the SEC conference. He's absolutely fantastic. 6'5", 325 pounds. That's enormous for a center. Didn't give up a sack last year. Stats are off the charts. He is a top-tier athlete. The reason why they decided to pull the trigger here, because I was a bit surprised, I must say, from the standpoint of I knew they were going to go lineman. I just thought it would be defensive linemen. But they really were impressed with Frank Ragnow, and a little birdie told them, flew on the shoulder of Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia and said, I think the Cincinnati Bengals may try to go after Frank Ragnow. And you saw what happened. The pick directly after the Detroit Lions, you saw what happened. Cincinnati, they choose Billy Price, center from Ohio State. I think that Ragnow was on their radar, for the Cincinnati Bengals at least, to go after. Detroit really, really wanted him, so they said, no, Ragnow's ours. And you saw what the Bengals deal with the Billy Price pick, center from Ohio State, who is a good center, but I don't think he's on the level of a Frank Ragnow. And then you look at what the New England Patriots did. That was also another birdie that flew on the shoulder of Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia, I think, that said, hey, New England is also interested in an offensive lineman, and they really like Frank Ragnow. That's what's on the rumor mill right now. And what did New England do with that 23rd pick? They went with Isaiah Wynn, guard from Georgia. So they were very impressed here. They know that they have to protect their most valued asset on that Detroit Lions roster, which is Matthew Stafford. Now, when you look at the history for Bob Quinn, he has no excuse now when it comes to protecting Matthew Stafford. Because when you look at this offensive line, look at the picks that Bob Quinn has orchestrated since taking over. They've had, I believe, two first-round picks when it comes to an offensive lineman. They've had a third-round offensive lineman draft. And then they had two free agent picks where they went offensive line as well. That means that this offensive line is now Bob Quinn's guys. If they don't get the job and protect Matthew Stafford now, it is on Bob Quinn's shoulders. And he has screwed up here. But I like when, and I didn't know anything really about Frank Ragnow. I didn't think they were going that route in the first place. After they drafted him, I watched film on Ragnow. He is such an intriguing guy. Real briefly here, again, many of you probably don't even know much about Arkansas center Frank Ragnow. Well, NFL Network draft guru Mike Mayock had Ragnow rated as the number one center in this year's draft and number 19 player overall. In fact, Pro Football Focus had Ragnow as the number one center in college football for the last, not this past season, but last two seasons. Billy Price out of Ohio State was the consensus All-American last season, and he was selected again, one pick after Ragnow was taken by the Detroit Lions. As I just mentioned, Billy Price goes to the Cincinnati Bengals. But you look at what Mike Mayock has, Mike Mayock knows his stuff. Again, the last two seasons, Ragnow has been rated the number one center in college football. Also, some other few tidbits here. During his junior year at Arkansas, Ragnow's father, John, actually passed away after a heart attack in their home in Minnesota. That was really shocking when I started to do some backstory research on Ragnow. And get this, Ragnow was almost a player for the Michigan State University college football team. How about that? According to the Star Tribune, Ragnow visited a couple of Midwest schools for college, including right here at Michigan State University. How about that? We could have seen him in the green and white, but again, he chose to go to Arkansas. He visited Alabama as well, and there was a moment, when I was doing some more research, there was a moment, actually, after the Arkansas and Alabama game back in 2016. As I noted, Ragnow's father, John, sadly passed away after a heart attack, and Nick Saban, who recruited Ragnow after that game, you know, you can see this video. There's this video of Nick Saban running up to Ragnow and saying, hey, man, I feel for you. My condolences to you and your family. I lost my father in college as well. Thoughts and prayers to you. It's a really cool, emotional moment and a very classy move by Nick Saban. So also, the dude has a YouTube channel. Check it out. It's pretty interesting, actually. It's called Grizzly Man Outdoors, where he shares his exploits in the wild. I actually sat there, and I don't know why I spent this much time on it, but I spent 5 minutes watching Ragnow fish. He's fishing in a boat. Exciting stuff. That video got like 17,000 views, though.
Hey, that's 17,000 more than I've ever gotten, so.
Maybe we should post our segments of the day on YouTube of us just fishing and talking about sports. Maybe we would get more than like 30 views.
That would be a great segment, I think, actually, for the summertime.
Exactly, right? But yeah, Grizzly Man Outdoors, he's got his own YouTube channel, and he's also the second of five kids. I don't know if many of you have seen the video. Did you see the video when he got the call from the Lions?
I have not, no.
There's a video of him, you know, on the phone with Martha Firestone Ford, with Matt Patricia, and before that, Bob Quinn. And he's there, and he had this big, you know, he wasn't at the draft. He was at home. All of his family and friends are around him, and he gets the call, and you know, he's getting emotional. Then he hangs up, and he says, I'm with the Detroit Lions, and everybody goes crazy. I want to play a snippet. This actually is a snippet from the Detroit Lions side. The Lions Twitter page actually released a video of when they gave Ragnow a call that he was going to be a member of the Honolulu Blue. And I want to play that snippet right now. It's very cool. You're first hear the conversation, just from the Lions side of Bob Quinn talking with Ragnow, and then Matt Patricia gets on the phone, and then Martha Firestone Ford gets on the phone. Well, no, opposite order, actually. It was Bob Quinn, then Martha Firestone Ford, and then Matt Patricia to end the call. Here is how that conversation went.
Well,
hey, Frank. Good, man. Congratulations. Which made you a Lion? Who are you there with? Hey, listen, you've worked your entire life to get to this point, so we're really, really excited to add you to the team. We met you at the combine and really came away impressed and kind of kept a low radar on you for the rest of the process, but I think you'd be a good fit in our team here, and we're not sure what position you're going to play. We just know you're a good offensive lineman. We'll fit you in with the rest of our crew, and the best five guys will play. So congratulations, Taylor. I'm going to pass the phone around to a couple people, and then we'll be calling you back here in a little bit, okay? I'm going to head you over to Coach Patricia. Yep, congratulations. We'll see you here tomorrow. We'll get you on a flight tomorrow morning, all right? All right, here's Coach.
Frank, how we doing, buddy? I'm good. Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Are you kidding me, man? We're so excited for you. Right, who are you there with right now?
What did they give up? They gave up a 75th overall selection.
Will you tell them that you love me a lot now that you're on? Okay, all right, I'm going to put this is for you. I'm just going to say hello, okay? All right, hang on 1 second, Frank.
Hello, Frank. Well, I'm doing very well. This is really great news for us. Me and my whole family are so excited that you're going to be coming here, and we can't wait to meet you. And the way teams are looking at wideouts is not just comparing. Okay, we'll see you soon. Thanks. Congratulations.
All right, you ready to roll? All right, buddy, congratulations. I'm looking forward to it.
Again, that was a conversation actually in the Detroit Lions war room as they made the call to Ragnow, letting him know that they had just drafted him with the 20th overall pick in round one of the 2018 NFL draft. How about Martha Firestone Ford? I was just commenting with Ian behind the glass how this woman is 92 years old, doesn't have a cane, is not in a wheelchair. I need to get on her diet, whatever she's eating, man. Maybe she's vegan. I need to get on it because she looks great. I have no problem with this pick for the Detroit Lions. I want to hit our first break, and when we come back, we'll dissect it a bit more. I got a few more points I want to make. How would you grade it? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, we have been dissecting the Detroit Lions pick at number 20. Arkansas center Frank Ragnow. I have no problem with it. They addressed a need. That offensive line has been not great in protecting their franchise quarterback in Matthew Stafford. There are other needs for this team. I've noted that there are three areas that the Lions need to focus on in this year's draft. And again, they only have 6 picks. That's not a lot of picks. Not a lot of picks at all. I mean, that's 3 fewer than last year. Actually, 4 fewer than 2015. When you have 6 picks, man, you got to make sure that you make the right moves and address needs. Those 3 needs for me, the offensive line, which was addressed with this pick, the defensive line, and then, of course, running back, because they absolutely have no running back. They've been in the bottom barrel of the league when it comes to the rushing attack for the last 3 years. And also, you know what? I think, Ian, that there was a chance that they might have gone defensive line if some of their guys that they were targeting did not, you know, get chosen. I noted how on yesterday's Current Sports that I thought that the Detroit Lions were going to get Deron Payne, defensive tackle from Alabama. Well, he was taken 13th overall to the Washington Redskins. And then that pick goes out the window. So that was a guy where I'm like, okay, he's taken early. I don't know what the Lions are going to do here. Maybe they still stick, you know, and stick with the defensive line and find somebody out there. But then I also saw, you know, before Deron Payne goes at number 12, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they chose Vita Vea, defensive tackle at Washington, who, looking at reports, the Lions were also targeting. So, you know, I think that when Vea went off the board and then Payne goes off the board right after that, I mean, they wanted to go a different route, and they went center. I have no problem with it. I'll grade it as a B because I thought they were going to the defensive line and address the defensive line first, especially seeing as though we don't know what Iggy Ziggy Ansah is going to do after next year. But you beef up that offensive line and that protection for Matthew Stafford. Now, what are they going to do? Are they going to go defensive line in round two? Because if you look at defensive linemen in this year's draft, it's slim pickings in comparison to the running back position. But do you pull the trigger if a guy like Darius Geis, running back from LSU, is still on the board? He is a popular name, and he has been, you know, early on in this NFL draft realm as an early trendy pick. He has a fun running style. He is a violent rusher. Some drama on the side, though. I brought up on yesterday's Current Sports how some NFL teams out there, according to Geis, were asking him about his mother possibly being a prostitute. That was a bizarre story. And then the whole thing about, you know, the crew that he hangs out with, that's been in question when it comes to a few teams out there that have brought that up. Also, character, is he going to work hard enough? That's been a question mark, according to a lot of anonymous reports out there from other NFL guys. But, you know, who knows? And also, he alleges that some NFL teams out there asked him if he liked men, if he was a gay man, which is totally crossing the line. But that's what he alleges there. So, I don't know. I think Geis' stock has been hurt because of this. But, Geis, when you look at him on film, he has the potential to be a special running back. So, we'll see what happens. What do you think they'll do here, Ian? Will they go defensive line, or will they go running back in round two?
I'm not exactly sure. I think they'll go defensive line just because that was their original plan, and they're going to try and stick with that for round two.
Okay, let's go to line one right now. I see Mike from Saginaw is on the line. Mike, what do you think of the Detroit Lions pick of Arkansas center Frank Ragnow, and how would you grade it?
I graded a 9. I really would. The reason why I would grade it a 9 is because if you're not going to get the best player available, get the best next available player, because they do need line help, because they got to protect Stafford. And they also, if they're going to draft a running back in the later rounds, they're going to have to get some offensive line help. So I would grade it a 9 just for that effort. I really would. Now, we don't know if he's going to turn out to be a player for them or not, because time will tell on that, but I'd rate it a 9. I really would.
Yeah, and for me, you got to address, you know, needs right now for the Lions. I personally don't think the Lions are that far from being a legit contender in the league. Now, again, you do play in the NFC North, and that is a stacked division. It truly is. You look at the Minnesota Vikings. They look to be for real. They just got Kirk Cousins, right? And then also, you know, you look at the Green Bay Packers as well. You know, Aaron Rodgers, they're expected to have a good year next season. This schedule for the Detroit Lions in 2018 is nothing to scoff at. I mean, you may want to scoff at it because it is a really difficult schedule, I should say. They have, actually, according to ESPN, the second toughest schedule in the league. Number one, actually, is the Green Bay Packers. When you look at the combined record, Mike, of teams last year that the Lions will play next year in 2018, that's a 137-119 record.
Yeah.
And they will play 6 playoff teams from 2017. Only 2 nationally televised games in the New York Jets to start on Monday Night Football on ESPN, and then in week 3 against the New England Patriots, which you can view on NBC. But you got to play the Patriots in week 3. Then you go and play my Cowboys on the road. Then you're at home against the Green Bay Packers, and then you get that coveted bye week in week six, which is actually the earliest bye week for the Lions since 2012.
Early one for, in October.
Right, exactly. But then you look at how they finished the year, and if they are in a divisional race for first in the NFC North, I mean, you got to play your last four games. Three of those games will be on the road. Three of your last four games will be on the road, and that includes at Buffalo and at Green Bay, really cold environments around that time of the year in mid to late December. So I don't know what to make of what the Detroit Lions will do next year, but what I will say is I like this draft pick. I would grade it a B, Mike.
Okay, I read it too. I got two more questions I'd like to ask for you. Well, did you see Saquon Barkley playing? What you think of him? Would you trade up to get him? Is he that good?
Well, if you're the Detroit Lions, again, when you only have six picks, you don't want to trade up and give up anything because you have six picks is not a lot. It's actually, I think it's tied for the fewest selections, I should say, in the 2018 NFL draft. So when you have six picks, you don't want to trade up. And if anything, maybe trade down and get more picks. Who knows? If that's a move you want to make and make any moves, that's the move I would make. Saquon Barkley's special. I raved about Saquon Barkley. I have the Sports Illustrated article right in front of me. Ben Baxkin earlier this week did a profile in the latest edition of Sports Illustrated, and he's going to be a superstar, in my opinion. Looking at what he did in the combine and his measurements, and also you add that in addition to what he did at Penn State. I got a chance to read about his character in this article, which was amazing. Saquon Barkley is going to be a special player. He's got the potential of being the face of the NFL, in my opinion. I think the guy is that good. I'm all in on Saquon Barkley. But when you're the Detroit Lions, you don't make that move because you only get six picks this season. So that's just my opinion. And what's your last question real quick, Mike?
Okay. I'm going to talk to you about the Cleveland Cavaliers and Indiana Pacers.
Yes.
Do you think the Indiana Pacers should beat Cleveland in this seven-game series? But they not. You know why they're not going to do it? Because of Lance Stevens.
Why do you say Lance? Why do you just peg Lance Stevenson in that argument?
Because Lance Stevenson is always trying to play a head game on LeBron James, and LeBron James don't fall for it.
Well, I think Lance has actually played great throughout this series. If there's anybody I want to criticize when it comes to this Pacers and Cavs series, it's Victor Oladipo. He is the guy. Okay. He is the best player on that roster, and he has not shown up this series. He has shot horribly. When you look at his last three outings in particular, he has shot horribly from the field. If they just get some minimal production from the floor for Victor Oladipo, I mean, who knows what could have happened in that last game? You know, maybe the Pacers take control and take a three-game-to-two series lead.
Do you think LeBron James goaltending against him making that layup?
It was goaltending, but if everything happens the way it happened, still, that was a three-pointer from LeBron James. It probably would have changed the scheme and their approach probably offensively, and maybe the Cavs go for two instead of LeBron James hoisting up a three to win the game. But it was goaltending, but still, you can't take that away from what LeBron James did in those final minutes. Mike, we got to go. Thanks so much for the call, though.
Okay, I appreciate it, man. Thank you, man.
Again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Right now, live here in studio, we have one of our current sports production assistants who wants to weigh in on the Detroit Lions draft pick at 20 of Arkansas center Frank Ragnow. We've got Jack Kerwin, who is in studio. Jack, how would you grade this move? Do you like it?
I'm with you, Al. I think it's like a B- for me. You know, when I was watching with my buddies, I was so, like, laser-focused in on Harold Landry, because I knew he was still there, the pass rusher from Boston College. And when I saw Frank Ragnow, I recognized the name, but I was like, wait, what? And it was, like, shock for me at first. But, you know, I saw a stat that said he played 2,200 snaps in college or something like that and didn't allow a sack.
Right.
And the Lions need interior offensive line help. So, I mean, I can't knock the pick.
What do you think they do in round two?
I think they'll probably trade back, actually. But
you think so, to get more picks?
Yeah, I think so.
Because, okay.
You know, you saw the reports yesterday. They were trying to do that.
They were trying to do that.
Yep.
And, you know, it didn't work out, of course. But I think in round two, you know, if a Geis is there, pull the trigger.
Trigger
and get him.
I agree. I don't think he will be, though. I think they're going to get someone like Hubbard, a pass rusher, and then they'll go running back round three.
Exactly. If you don't have a Geis there, I would probably go with a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
Because, again, you just don't know. There's a lot of question marks after next season what that defensive line is going to look like.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, when it comes to the Lions, man, again, just pump the brakes, fans. Pump the brakes. This is a process here. And again, I think that the Lions right now, they are – a running back away from being a legit contender. That's what I've said. Sure, their needs on the line, without a doubt, because you need, especially that offensive line, has to open up holes. But they are a running back away, a run game. I should modify that. A run game away from being a very special team. And I think, to put in perspective how desperate they are right now, I mean, my goodness, they just got LeGarrette Blount in the offseason, who's on the back end of his career. You know, anytime you know, when it comes to that mileage of a running back, anytime, Ian, you go over that 1,300 carries, that's when your career starts to get on the downslope as a running back. And LeGarrette Blount is just over those 1,300 miles, if you will. But it shows that, you know, if they're willing to go after LeGarrette Blount, who is on the back end of his career, you know, the Lions have been struggling in short yardage situations in the red zone, struggling to accrue some yards on that first down. They are a run game away because they got, you know, offensive weapons galore. I love the trio when it comes to the wide receivers, right? I mean, guys like Golden Tate, you know, a young kid like Kenny Golladay, who was the breakout star of that receiving core last year. Marvin Jones Jr., those three wide receivers, you know, help Matthew Stafford out a lot. They do have a tight end need they need to address, right, with Eric Ebron now being gone, but that'll come, I think. I don't think that's that important when you have those three receivers doing what they do. But this is a Detroit Lions team that I think can really turn some heads come next season. The pieces are there. And then you look at the secondary. I mean, goodness, Darius Slay, the only Pro Bowler for the Detroit Lions last year. Glover Quinn, the 2017 breakout player, and Quandre Diggs. The secondary is in good shape, in my opinion. So, again, beef up both of those lines, get a nice running back, and the Lions will be fine. But, again, you look at this schedule, Ian, this schedule does concern me, I must say.
Yeah, they've got a bit of a gauntlet as a schedule this year, but I don't think these first two or three picks in the NFL draft are going to make or break the Lions season. I think people put a little bit too much emphasis on the NFL draft. I mean, it's only three guys on what, like an 80-man roster? So, sure, there's some debate that needs to be had as to who they might have picked or who they might not have picked, but I think when the fans look at it, we need to take a step back and realize that there's still a lot of work left to be done in this offseason. And the Lions will look good come opening day, no matter who they take in these next couple rounds.
I tell you what, it's very cool, you know, watching that war room. It was very cool watching, you know, Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, who had been friends for a long time, and their ties date back to when they were working under the great Bill Belichick back in New England, right? But I think it's important to note that I think a bit of a culture shift is happening in Detroit. I'll go as far as to say that, because you got two guys who come from a winning organization coming into a depleted franchise like the Detroit Lions, who hasn't won anything, never won a Super Bowl, never even been to a Super Bowl. You got two guys who have that kind of experience, you know, in the war room, slapping fives. They look like best buds. And you have Matt Patricia in there rocking the suit and also the pencil behind the ear. You know, I think the standard of winning is changing in Detroit. I feel like no longer do Detroit Lions fans feel like, you know, just making the playoffs and going out, you know, in the first round or just making a wild card spot is good enough anymore. They want to compete for Super Bowls, you know, and I think that what really puts this conversation in perspective is that, you know, the Lions go 9-7 back-to-back years under the last 2 years under the leadership of Jim Caldwell. That actually was the first consecutive winning seasons for this franchise since 1994-1995. You know, maybe 10 years ago, if Jim Caldwell does that, that's probably good enough to keep your job the next season, right? That's not the case now. Bob Quinn says that the level of expectation has now risen for this franchise. And now you bring in Matt Patricia, and this will be his first year. I'm excited to see what Matt Patricia can do in year one with this squad. There's a lot of hype because Matt Patricia had so much success as a coordinator for Bill Belichick. What do you think next season will look like? I should ask this question, Ian. When it comes to how you measure success, what will be a successful season for the Detroit Lions under Matt Patricia's leadership in year one?
10 wins. I think 10 wins will be the benchmark for a good or a bad Matt Patricia season. In year one for him.
So anything less than 10 wins, that's how you would measure it then?
Yeah, I mean, the expectations are pretty high for him coming in. And like you say, Bob Quinn has had his hands in things for a long time over at Detroit, so the team is mostly his doing now. So for these guys, the expectations are high, and I think 10 wins, or at least in my mind, I would be happy with a 10-win season for Matt Patricia.
And in year one, I think that even going beyond that, that may be good enough to get into the playoffs, maybe a wild card, but they got to make the playoffs. That's the thing. You got to make the playoffs. If you coming in year one, I think that's a fair measurement. Jack, do you want to weigh on this? What is a success? What would you look at in year one under the first year for Matt Patricia? What would you consider to be a success for the Detroit Lions?
Playoffs for sure. It can be wild card, and we don't need to win the division. But going back to what you said, 9-7 the last 2 years, and I'm really not a Jim Caldwell fan, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I think he connects with his players well, but I don't think he's a good in-game manager. And if we were able to get 9 wins the past 2 years with Caldwell, and I'm supposed to believe we've upgraded at coach,
right,
then I think we should win more than 9 games. And I think 10 would probably get you to the playoffs. So I'd say 10 to 11 wins in a playoff spot.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have 4 minutes left. Let's hit him with Now, Reflection Friday, where we reflect on the week that has been here on WKAR's Current Sports, hit you with a few of our favorite moments, maybe a few of our favorite interviews, and maybe a few stories that we did not get a chance to chat about. Here we go. All right, you know what, Ian? I hate to admit this, man, but probably my favorite moment of the sporting week had to be LeBron James's game winner. How amazing was that, man? I mean, watching that, you know, I actually feel like I'm getting old. Well, I am. Every day we get a little bit older, right? But I'm sitting there on the couch. It was a long day in my defense. Sitting there on the couch, and, you know, I was a bit tired. I fell asleep in the fourth quarter, and I wake up, dog next to me, and all of a sudden, you know, Cleveland was in command. All of a sudden, it's a tie game. I'm like, oh, my goodness. What is going on here? And I wake up, and then all of a sudden, you know, LeBron James, you know, the ball goes out of bounds. Indiana gets the basketball. Victor Oladipo with the, you know, the crazy block, goaltending that LeBron James had. Then the game winner. Favorite moment of the sporting week was that greatness from LeBron, just showing why he's still the best player on the planet, in my opinion. And when it comes to current sports, I mean, Rising Black Men was in the house yesterday, and they were absolutely fantastic, doing some amazing things on campus. What about for you?
I was going to say the LeBron James shot as well. You stole my idea there. But if I had to pick a second one, it would be Russell Westbrook doing his thing against the Utah Jazz to keep them in that series in Game 5.
Absolutely willed them to a dub, right? Fantastic stuff. All right, on Monday's Current Sports, we will talk about rounds 2 through 7 of the NFL draft. Will a Michigan State player get chosen? If anybody, it will be Brian Allen, right? Will Brian Allen continue the streak? We'll talk about that and so much more. Also, we'll address Shea Patterson on Monday. Have a great weekend in the meantime, and be easy, people.